A recent report from the mainstream daily newspaper New York Times has gone into detail as to how the CIA is facilitating arms and other assistances to armed groups in Syria, and it's doing it on Turkish soil near the borders with Syria. Damascus has always been very vocal that Turkey, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia were assisting, funding, and arming armed groups operating on Syrian soil. With Kofi Annan's peace plan in limbo and the United Nations observer mission currently suspended, it seems that the riddle to solve the Syria unrest has become as convoluted as ever. Stay tuned for Press TV's news analysis with me, Bahri Honardo.
The unrest in Syria remains unresolved nearly 1.5 years after it began, despite efforts to restore peace. The violence has claimed the lives of thousands of people, among them security forces. Damascus blames the violence on armed groups that received aid from foreign countries like Turkey. Since the very beginning, Ankara adopted a hawkish stance toward its neighbor and called for the ouster of Syrian government. Ankara hosts a so-called Syrian National Council, which is an umbrella group of opponents of the Syrian president. The council is actively involved in coordinating the activities of armed rebels inside Syria. But it's not just Turkey. Saudi Arabia and Qatar too play a role inside Syria. They've been constantly calling for sending arms to the Syrian gangs, and reports say they are funding the rebellion. The two Arab countries claim they are supporting the Syrian people's aspiration to freedom and democracy. But they've been playing counter-revolutionary policies in other Arab countries like Bahrain, and have even aided the Manama regime in its brutal crackdown on anti-government protests. Many analysts say these countries are playing into the hands of Western powers led by the United States.
We see this as a kind of satanic alliance between the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, and of course Qatar, in order to create this instability inside Syria.
Washington and its allies have spearheaded efforts to topple the Syrian government. They've tried their luck at the UN Security Council several times to start a Libya-style military intervention, but those efforts were blocked by Russia and China. Latest reports say they are now directly involved in assisting the rebels. The New York Times has revealed the CIA is involved in supervising the supply of weapons to anti-Syrian groups. The report says CIA agents are operating from southern Turkey.
What's interesting is the increased amount of detail that's coming out and specifics, because as we know, the goal is high. The goal is nothing less than regime change. I have little doubt that the Americans will go much further in the future as far as ratcheting up the pressure to implement its goals.
Experts say the U.S. and its allies are now at a crossroad. Ratcheting up pressure on Syria or helping a peaceful settlement of the crisis. The first choice could drag Syria into a full-scale civil war, and the second could save the lives of innocent civilians.
Well, now I'd like to welcome my guests joining us here on Press TV for the program, political commentator Sukant Chandon, joining us from London. From the Center for American Progress, Lawrence J. Korb, joining us from Washington, and author and Islamic studies expert Kevin Barrett, joining us from Madison. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us here. Let's start off with our guest in London. Sukant Chandon, how do you explain claims of diplomacy from the United States when it comes to Kofi Annan's peace plan, but then reports like the one in the New York Times surfaces pointing to the CIA in addition to Washington's allies in the region who are aiding armed groups fighting the Syrian government? Does the U.S. have any interest to support Annan's peace plan, or is the claim sort of a political ploy?
The Western white power structure has one aim, which is to conduct regime change against any state in the global south which poses any type of obstacle to its total domination of the world. I mean, it's high time that the empire admitted through the New York Times that the CIA officers have been directing and arming the Syrian rebels, which you know, let's be honest with ourselves. If we understand, if anyone understands a little bit of the nature of the West, we know that they're up to this all the time, and we don't need them to admit it. But once they've admitted it, we know that they've been up to this for a long, long time. When the former U.S. ambassador, Mr. Ford, to Syria, that is, Mr. Ford was on the demonstrations when this rebellion first took place in the first days and weeks. Who is Mr. Ford? Mr. Ford is the protege of Mr. Negroponte. Who is Mr. Negroponte? He is the arch designer of the Contra dirty war in Latin America. So when Mr. Ford has been meeting the rebels and CIA officers are meeting the rebels, they're discussing what type of weapons to give the rebels and what type of military strategy to conduct. And knowing the type of dirty war that these people get up to, we know that the United States are encouraging, along with Britain and France, are encouraging and are probably training. Don't forget, it was in Scotland that the British state trained the Mujahideen to fight the Soviets and the PDPA government back in the 80s. Fast forward to today, we're seeing a tragic rerun of a similar type of dynamic that took place in Afghanistan today in Syria, where you have a state backed by the global south, particularly Russia and China, that's supporting Syria. And then on the other hand, you have imperialism arming and training and financing these terrorists for regime change. So it's all in the open, and no one should be confused about the situation. It's all very clear. You have a clear polarization of forces. On the one hand, you have the empire, the Western white power structure, whatever you want to call it, allied directly with Turkey, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia, and the state of Israel. Don't forget, Shimon Peres himself said just very recently, a few days ago, that he would wish that the Syrian rebels would win. So on the one side, you have these forces. And on the other side, you have the forces for independence and progress for the people of the world, led by Russia and China and the Syrian government and their allies. So the situation is very clear, and I'm really quite disturbed by how too many people out there are still befuddled or taking this nonsensical third way or neutral position. As Desmond Tutu said, and he's not my favorite progressive character, but as he said, if you're neutral in a situation of oppression, then you're siding with the oppressor, and okay, that's what's going on.
Over to Washington, Lawrence J. Korb. It's not just the issue of the armed groups in Syria, but there have been a ton of reports indicating that Al-Qaeda is active and is being funded by the U.S. or its proxies. Why is the U.S. arming Al-Qaeda?
Oh, wait a second. You got the story all wrong. What the New York Times article said today, and again, we're not quite sure, not everything that's written in the newspapers comes to be true, but what they were saying is that the U.S. People are there to make sure arms, not the ones they're supplying, we're not supplying any, don't fall into the hands of Al-Qaeda. That is their mission. And this idea that somehow the United States wants regime change in all these areas is nonsensical. This all started what happened in Tunisia, then it moved to Egypt. In fact, we were criticized for staying with Mubarak too long. And even the Israelis are not happy with, you know, what's going to happen in Egypt, given the fact that they had very good relations with Mubarak. President Obama has been criticized by his political opposition for not doing more. In fact, Senator McCain, who ran against him for president last time, basically is urging the United States to start an air campaign. President Obama was criticized for not doing enough in Libya, for basically, to use the term, leading from behind. So this idea that the United States wants regime change, the United States basically wants the people of Syria to make a decision in a nonviolent way, the way it was done, for example, in Tunisia, and the way it was done in Egypt. And it's not the UN was the one who basically, with Russia and China, that wanted to get in there to stop the violence. The rebels agreed to lay down their arms. Assad said he would, but then he did not. And you know, one of the most significant things happened today was not the New York Times story, was the fact that a Syrian pilot flying a MiG went to Jordan to seek asylum. And we know many of the members of the Syrian military, particularly enlisted people, are now defecting. And I think the real question is, can we stop this before there's any more slaughter?
Okay, first of all, let's go back to our guest in London, Mr. Chandan. You were shaking your head there when Mr. Korb was giving his answer. Let's relay one of his thoughts to you. Do you agree, first of all, with Mr. Korb that the United States is trying to prevent arms from reaching al-Qaeda forces if they are in Syria? And add anything, if you have, to the comments made by Mr. Korb.
You know, it's incredible how history develops. I mean, our friend from the United States is either so naive to not understand the system of governance and world domination of his government, or he's a trickster, frankly. I mean, now today, you can become a jihadi and go fight against the Syrian regime or against Gaddafi's regime yesterday, and you'll be promoted and celebrated in the mainstream media in the West. It's all very clear what's going on. I mean, you know, the United States and Britain and France, it's constantly conducting covert regime change against the whole global South. This is what this is what the state of the West is all about. Just recently today, you can read how the United States is putting pressure and stopping a report showing that Rwanda, its proxy in Africa, is involved in destabilization against the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is if Congo becomes independent in alliance with China, will lift Africa and smash U.S. domination and British domination in that region. So it's clear what the nature of the state is all about. I mean, again, if the way that the West is dealing with al-Qaeda is very interesting, because it's obviously purging al-Qaeda of those elements which it sees too problematic to its interests, and then promoting other elements of al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda very active in Libya, and they always have been since the beginning of the uprising, and before, when the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group was one of the main organizations supported by the CIA and the MI6 and the French intelligence services against Gaddafi's regime. It's all on record, it's all out in the open, and it's very, very important that our people raise their voices, organize themselves, and are really rigorous and assertive in struggling for peace and development of the countries of the global South.
Mr. Kevin Barrett, let's bring you in on the discussion.
Well,
I'm sorry, Mr. Korb, we'll get back to you in a moment. Mr. Barrett, you heard the comments by the two gentlemen. Share with us your thoughts and how you perceive those comments. And also, if you may, tell us that, you know, many observers are saying that the U.S. policy in Syria is basically fueling extremism, pretty much the same way that its attacks in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Yemen, and Somalia is feeding a wave of extremism. Do you see it in that light as well?
Well, yes, I do. And I have to say, I think that the guests in London is telling a lot more of the truth than the guest in Washington. It's true that the American people have no interest in destabilizing all of these global South countries, and in particular these Middle Eastern countries. It would be in the interest of the American people, and indeed the American economy, and its oil companies for that matter, to have a good relationship with a stable, prosperous Middle East. So, the problem is that our policy here in the USA has been taken over by a radical wing affiliated with the hardline Zionists of the Likud Party and the hardline people of the military-industrial complex. These people staged a coup d'etat on 9/11, and they put their Northwood-style, Operation Gladio-style destabilization programs, that is, these big, huge terrorist programs, into overdrive. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing the Western forces, as we've heard now in the New York Times, supporting these fighters being armed in Turkey. And we just heard recently from a major Turkish political party, the Felicity Party, which is the progressive Islamic party in Turkey, that Israeli weapons are in fact being organized and given to these so-called freedom fighters who are really terrorists in Syria. And these people are indeed al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is a very nebulous concept. It just means any sort of radical Sunni mujahideen. And the majority of those people have always been working with the empire, working with the USA in drug smuggling, in attacks on Russia, and, of course, on these destabilization programs throughout the Middle East. So, again, it's not in the interest of the American people to be doing this. But it is in the interests of the radical Likudnik Zionists and the military-industrial complex, and unfortunately, they have seized power here in the USA.
Right. Back to Washington. Mr. Korb, sorry I had to interrupt you earlier in your response to our guest in London. Please continue with that, and also tell me what you think about my next question. Time and again, Turkey has been indicated in the arming and facilitating of the armed groups in Syria. What is Turkey's agenda in Syria?
Okay, your guest in London was talking about the United States ally in Rwanda. President Clinton was criticized for not doing anything to stop the slaughter in Rwanda. We're talking about Somalia. That's not an American operation. That's the Ugandans, the Kenyans, people from Burundi. So this idea that somehow the United States is trying to, you know, use its allies to control these countries is simply not true. And it's interesting, your guest, other American guest was talking about after 9/11. After 9/11, Iran condemned the attacks of 9/11. Iran supported the United States going into Afghanistan. Now, the question that somehow or another, even with Iraq, which I happen to think was a mistaken war, was an unnecessary war, but the fact of the matter is, when the Iraqis told us to leave, we left. So this idea that somehow we're trying to control this is not true. Now, do we have a military-industrial complex? Yeah, but you know what they're focused on these days? They're not focused on the Middle East. They're focused on the quote-unquote threat from China to justify, you know, keeping the military budget up. And in fact, you probably have seen the whole question about the pivot to Asia rather than focusing, you know, on the Middle East. The interesting thing is Al-Qaeda got upset at the United States. One of their concerns was that we were supporting regimes like Mubarak. Well, now that we're not, what is the narrative? So I think that somehow or another we're mixing up an awful lot of things. I think, you know, as I said, President Obama's getting, you know, beaten up by his political opponents for not doing anything in Syria. He was beaten up by his political opponents for not doing more in Libya. So this idea that, you know, the United States is trying, you know, to dominate or control, and even the Israelis would prefer Mubarak being in power. They're concerned about what's going to happen with this election if we ever find out what the situation is. And the Turks, to get to your other question, they were brokering peace talks between the Assad government and the Israelis. And so the idea that somehow or another the Israelis, that they're concerned about a civil war, and I think that's what the Turks are concerned about, that this war in Syria will spread because if the Russians keep sending new or used helicopters, the fighting will go on and it will spread into their borders. That's what the Turks are concerned about. They don't want to see this thing. They don't want to see this thing spread.
Mr. Chandon, in London, some observers critical of Turkey's role in Syria are saying that it is acting as a proxy for the U.S. and NATO. How do you perceive that? And in addition to that, do you have anything to add to what Mr. Korb just said?
Yeah, in response to Mr. Korb, I mean, it's a typical strategy of the white man to project all issues of oppression that's actually coming from the white power structure onto the natives and onto the kind of onto the brown and black people, i.e., you know, the white power structure is absolutely, you know, innocent of any wrongdoing, and it's these silly Africans and these silly Asians and these silly Arabs who are creating all the mess and all the problems. The interesting thing in that regard is with Libya and now with Syria is that the West don't want to put any of their boots officially on the ground, but we know obviously in the first days of the Libyan uprising, the British SAS were in Benghazi and they got sprung because the telephone conversation between the former British ambassador to Libya and the head of the NTC, their phone conversation was exposed by Gaddafi's regime. And similarly in Syria, they don't want to put official boots on the ground in Syria, so they're sending their covert agents to do all the dirty work because they want to give the impression to the rest of the world, hey, we're the good guys, and if any dirty business is going on, it's these crazy and these natives. And on the issue of the Arab Spring as well, this befuddling of minds about what Tunisia and Egypt is all about. Tunisia has broken relations with the Assad regime, and the Muslim Brotherhood, which seems to be in the ascendancy for the time being in Egypt, is against the Assad regime, and their comrades in Syria are absolutely involved in the insurgency against the Assad regime there. On the issue of Turkey, it's a similar thing, actually, and it's a great shame that the Turkish state has strategically decided not to side with the global south, but it sees its interest for the time being, and it's a very narrow strategy that it's employing, and it's going to go nowhere because, you know, because anyone who dances with the devil will find that the devil will stab them in the back in the not too distant future.
Okay,
so
Mr.
really,
Chan,
it's not even in Turkey's own national it's not even in Turkey's national interest to go along with NATO as it did in Libya and now with
sure,
now with Syria.
Sure, I'm going to have to jump
but
in
also,
there.
Sure.
I'm going to have to jump in there to get give Mr. Barrett from Madison a chance to speak as well. Mr. Madison, how can ending the unrest in Syria be a Syria-led initiative if there are so many external factors being tossed in the mix? Mr. Barrett.
Well, that's right. Again, I have to say your guest in London is speaking far more accurately than your guest in Washington. This unrest is being spread by the agents of empire, and if indeed the American policymakers really wanted a peaceful solution in Syria, I think they could probably have accomplished a lot more in that regard. And I think at this point, the best approach is to try to support a reformist effort within Syria. And the sad thing about this is that the war on Islam, which was designed to split the Islamic world into different sects and areas fighting with each other, is having so much success. I think that we need to see a kind of a common front in the Middle East and the Islamic world against these outside destabilization efforts. And so really the first thing to do is to kick the meddlers out, and Syria needs to reform from within. And I think it's capable of it. Mm. It's just that's not the aim of those who are sponsoring the guerrillas or terrorists who are wreaking so much havoc in Syria.
Mr. Corbin, Washington, your thoughts on the same question. Can this be a Syria-led initiative if there are so many factors tossed up there?
Well, again, if you go back when this started and the Syrian people started demonstrating and asking for reforms, the Assad regime, rather than negotiating with them, started killing them. Well before anybody on the opposition side was using violence, the government was cracking down. You know, it's incredible. I'm listening to the history here. People forget Assad's father. Okay, Assad's father killed 40,000 people in order to put himself into power. What were the quote-unquote imperialists that you're calling, you know, the British, the French, the United States? No, we didn't do that. And everybody had hope, given the fact that he was educated in the West, that he might be a little bit more reasonable, but he's been every bit as bad as his father. And the international community is under tremendous pressure. You know, you go back to Libya, it was the Arab League that pushed us to get involved. Not the British and the French. There were planes from the Arab League. Qatar was flying missions over there. The United States only did, you know, something like 25% of what happened there. So the idea that somehow or another this is the United, believe me, the United States would like to focus on its problems at home rather than having to deal with these issues. And I'm sure President Obama would just assume that the violence stopped there so he could focus on what's happening here. So I think people are sort of mixing up history. It's like the Iranians helped at the Bonn conference. It was Iran, your country, that persuaded the Northern Alliance to support Karzai. This was not an American initiative. So somehow or another, the idea that the United States is trying to control all these things. We want to leave Afghanistan. We're trying to leave. And in fact, we've you know, turned over more and more of the missions to the Afghans.
Okay, over to our guest in London, Mr. Chandon. You seemed a bit anxious there to get a response to what Mr. Korb was saying. Please go ahead with that. And also, do you think that with so many external factors, this can be a Syrian-led effort to end the unrest?
It's amazing. I don't know, you know, what world Mr. Korb is living in. You know, the Americans don't want to get involved with anyone. The British don't want to get involved.
No, wait a second. I don't attack you personally. Okay, you want to do my arguments. I'm living in the real world. You're not.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr.
Okay.
Corb,
don't attack me personally.
Establishments in Britain, France, and the United States constantly planning. You know, Mr. Corb himself talked about the pivot to Asia. Is that not a war plan? Of course it's a war plan. I mean, it's total nonsense what Mr. Corb is coming out with. But in terms of...
Wait a second. You're claiming we're trying to dominate the Middle East
in terms of the internal Syrian situation. We need to... I've said it many times before. I'll say it again. The Global South need to assert itself and take the initiative. We lost Libya. That was devastating. We didn't take enough initiatives, any meaningful initiatives. Where is Latin America? I'm loyal to all of our Global South, and Latin America politically is the most advanced. It needs to be making moves.
Okay,
to
Mr.
Really
Chandler, I'm sorry.
The regime,
time is of the essence here. We're running short
Syria.
Of time, but let me make you a promise. In accordance to with my senior producer, we're going to invite all you guests once again for another edition of Press TV's News Analysis to pick up where we left off right now tonight. But anyhow, let me thank my guests, political commentator from London, Sukant Chandon, Mr. Lawrence J. Corb from Washington from the Center for American Progress, and also Mr. Kevin Barrett from Madison, author and Islamic
You're
studies
welcome.
Expert.
Thank
Gentlemen,
you.
I'd like to thank you all for contributing to the program. I'm going to be signing off from our headquarters here in Tehran for now. Join us again same time, same place tomorrow for another edition of Press TV's News Analysis. Goodbye.